Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
You might say Lynn Cox is more at home in the water than she is on land.
There's something really serene about swimming through black water, where the sea and the sky sort of blend together. And so you sort of feel like you're swimming across sheets of the cosmos in a way.
Lynn Cox broke the record for the fastest swim across the English Channel when she was just 15. She swam the Bering Strait from Alaska to Siberia during the Cold War to encourage peace between Russia and the U.S. And without a wetsuit or fins, she swam a mile in the Antarctic Ocean in 38-degree water. Oh, that's cold. There's one nautical experience Lynn Cox will surely never forget. It happened when she was a teenager, training in the dark waters off the coast of California before dawn. Lynn Cox has written about the experience in her book called Grayson. That's the name she gave the whale she encountered that morning so many years ago.
When I was training one morning off the coast of Seal Beach, when I had this baby gray whale that I wound up calling Grayson swimming with me, I didn't know at first what it was. And so to be swimming along and feel the water hollow out underneath me and being sucked down into that little hole and being dragged along by the slipstream, I was really scared. And I really had to talk myself down and not just turn and swim out of the water as fast as I could. I had to sort of say, well, it could be a seal. It could be a dolphin. And then the mind goes, well, it could be a shark. You know, then I would talk to myself and say, okay, swim a little closer to shore, because if it is a shark, you can then get out of the water quickly. So then I turned towards the surf line and I looked up and I saw Steve, the old man who ran the bait shop, who was a fisherman and knew everything about the ocean. And he was waving his arms frantically at me and I thought, yep, it was a shark. It's time to get out now. And then he shook his head. And so I looked closer and he was cupping his hands around his mouth and he was shouting at me saying, Lynn, you can't finish your workout now. You've got a baby gray whale. He's lost. And if you go ashore, he'll follow you, he'll go aground, and he will die. You have to stay out here and help him find his mother. I didn't know how you find a mother whale in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. But, you know, I was only 17 then, so I was sort of think that, okay, I can do it. I'm not sure yet how, but maybe if I just try, there'll be a way to figure out that we can do this. Then he tried to communicate. He swam over and rolled over it and looked at me with one big brown eye. And I looked at him and I thought, oh my gosh, he's looking at me. And, you know, he was huge. He was 18 feet long. And I'm sort of all at once just wanting to sort of touch him and comfort him. And at the same time thinking, he's 18 feet long. Oh my gosh. And so he came very close to me and then would swim away. And then I decided, well, you know, you learn in life that sometimes just being with somebody else will make all the difference in the world. So I decided that I would just stay with him. And maybe by doing that, we could together find his mother. I'd been offshore for about 4 hours with Grayson and realized that I was really cold and really tired and I needed to get back to shore because I wasn't going to be okay otherwise. And so I started swimming towards shore and he realized that and he swam closer to me. Like when you swim in the water, if you swim close to a friend, you get a good drag off of them and your swimming is a lot easier. So he swam really close and allowed me to swim in his slipstream. Thank you. We made it back to the pier where there were people on the pier watching. And in the meantime, the lifeguards who patrolled the area had called each other to tell their friends to be on the lookout for a lone female whale, gray whale, who might be somewhere offshore. The fishermen also had radioed their friends. And we got a report there at the end of the pier that 10 miles south of us in Huntington Beach was a gray whale female that was heading toward Seal Beach. And I think that she must have heard Grayson's calls. He came over to me. It was obvious to me that he was asking me for his help, and I felt like I could do something. And that's really one of the big reasons why I wrote this story, because I figured out that in life we have big moments, really big moments, where we have a choice of doing something or letting it go by. And I think that that whole episode of being with a whale was really key to everything that I would do on throughout the rest of my life, because I realized that I could do something, that I could have an impact, and if I tried, I would get a little bit closer with him to whatever we wanted to accomplish.
And yes, mother and baby did reunite. Lynn Cox's book about her experience with the baby gray whale is called Grayson. Our story was produced by Living on Earth's Ashley Ahern. Next week on Living on Earth, she grew up in West Virginia coal country and then headed to Nashville. Country music star Kathy Mattea talks about the effects of coal mining on families and the environment.
Strip mining is rampant right now, and it's raping. It's raping the countryside. We have to try to get into a solution so that we can make some kind of sensible transition to cleaner power.
Coal country crooner Kathy Mattea, next time on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Eileen Belinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ian Gray, Ingrid Lobet, and Jeff Young, with help from Bobby Bascom and Kelly Cronin. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lierish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Steve Kerwin. From all of us here at Living on Earth, thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Wellborn Ecology Fund, and Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World, for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.